Choice isn't right. Choice isn't right. Choice isn't right in my life. I don't want your charity. Are you to be paid to care for me? I want choice isn't right in my life. And I don't want to be in your care. Or to be put someplace out there. I want choice isn't.
Hi, I'm Helen Gwilliam. You're listening to 3CR on International Day of People with Disability. This programme will be sampling just some of the non-violent direct action taken by disability activists worldwide in 2018 to demand equality for people with disability everywhere.
But dignity from where we sit, I want choices and rights in our lives. I don't want you to speak for me. Just listen and then you'll see. We want choices and rights in our lives. Choices and rights. That's where we gotta fight. Choices and rights in our lives.
That was Johnny Crescendo performing his song Choices and Rights. Johnny is a legend of the UK disability rights movement. As well as a songwriter, cataloguing injustices against people with disability, Johnny was founder of the Disabled People's Direct Action Network, which used public, non-violent civil disobedience to raise awareness of the discrimination and exclusion experienced by people with disability. Johnny now lives in the US and continues his activism through ADAPT, another grassroots organisation focused on non-violent protest. Direct Action Network and ADAPT are part of growing worldwide direct action protest movements by people with disability and their allies, challenging governments everywhere to deliver social justice and human rights for people with disability. In this show, we'll look at some of the protests carried out by people with disability in the last year. January 2018 saw massive mobilisation of women worldwide in the second global call to action, which was the Women's Marches. Speaking at the Brisbane Women's March in Australia was Ali France. Ali is a disability advocate, former journalist, and a Labour Party federal candidate who spoke about the need for feminism to be inclusive of and fully representative of women with disability, who continue to experience higher levels of disadvantage than women without disabilities in almost every sphere of life.
Today we march for all women, but we know feminism has never really delivered for all women. Disabled women have been left behind, somewhere back in the late 60s. For too long, our voices have been missing, despite the fact that people with disabilities are the most discriminated against people in Australia today. The best example of this is employment. In Australia, only half of all people with a disability are in the workforce. And that figure has been steady for 20 years. Our rates of employment for people with a disability are amongst the worst in the developed world. But for women with a disability, the situation is so much worse. Today in Australia, 51% of women with a disability who are lucky enough to find work earn less than $200 a week.
Shame.
This is compared to 36% of men with a disability. Only 16% of women with a disability earn over $400 a week, compared to 33% of men with a disability. Meanwhile, the average wage for women in Australia is $1,388 per week, $300 behind our male counterparts. So when we talk about wage disparity, no one is talking about the catastrophic wage gap that exists between women with a disability and absolutely everybody else. Why not? When unemployment and that wage gap ensures that women with a disability are trapped in poverty, experience greater levels of homelessness, and are 40% more likely to be victims of domestic violence. I lost my leg 6.5 years ago. I know I am a competent mum, employee, and athlete, but I often feel tagged, bound, and stereotyped because of my disability. What many see is diminished capacity to work, to make decisions, and to live and travel independently. It is a stigma, a myth that is so entrenched that most people born with a disability will struggle to ever find meaningful work, to receive a decent education, or to reach their potential.
Shame.
Feminists have always asserted that anatomy is not destiny. It is about time this applied to women with a disability. We are not disabled by differences in our physical and mental health. We are disabled by social, environmental, and attitudinal barriers which are a daily part of our lives. Intersectionality is well recognised, documented, and discussed. But I no longer want just recognition that it exists. I want action. I cannot neatly separate my identity of being disabled and being female, nor should you. Many of you are here because you are outraged, like me, at the levels of sexual assault and violence experienced by women the world over. Please also be outraged by this. 90% of women with an intellectual disability have been subjected to sexual abuse, and more than two-thirds have been sexually abused before they turn 18 years of age. When you are campaigning for equal pay, please also fight for the disabled women in Australia who are being paid less than $6 an hour, and their rate is assessed not by their capacity to do the work, but how fast they can do it through productivity-based assessment tools. We have seen great gains in terms of education for women and girls, but the job is not done. Only 16% of women with disabilities are likely to have any secondary education.
Shame.
There is hope. Record numbers of disabled women joined the women's marches in the United States last year, demonstrating that women with a disability want to be heard and they want their experiences to be part of the narrative. We want to be at the decision-making table. We too want to be in the workforce, on boards, and in government. We together need to begin to make change for these women. We need you. We cannot do it alone. Today we march for all women. Let's make sure that feminism delivers for disabled women. We need you to join with us to champion our cause, because our fight is your fight.
Ali France, speaking at the Brisbane Women's March in January 2018. Ali is a woman with disability and the ALP candidate for the seat of Dixon in Queensland, where she will be challenging Peter Dutton, Minister for Home Affairs, at the next federal election. In the United States, people with disability also supported the women's marches in large numbers, expressing their outrage against President Trump's attitudes towards women and people with disabilities. However, the women's marches were not without criticism from women with disabilities in the US either. However, the US women's marches were not without criticism from women with disabilities either, for their perceived failures to represent the experiences of women with disability and to enable women with disability to participate fully in the protests.
Do not forget about people with disabilities. Here we have so much to offer. It's not that hard. It's really not. It is time to cover the program. It's 2018.
The big message for me is that people with disabilities are part of every population that is currently being oppressed. And it's even a more magnified issue for someone with a disability. This includes access to healthcare, immigration, employment, education, all of it. a lot of the time it's oversight. It's not making sure that places and events are accessible, but more than just the physical access, it's also the content and the conversation.
There's a basic assumption that people with disabilities want to be fixed, and that's not true. I think a lot of people with disabilities want to be accepted for who they are. They want supports for the things that they need. I think if you look at somebody as less than or somebody who needs to be fixed, you're never going to have a real relationship with that person on an equal footing. 2017 made us stronger. It made us talk about the problems that we have, and it made us take action to try to fix them. So I'm really looking forward to organizing disability advocates across the country to go to the polls this year in 2018 and make change happen the way we need it to.
And that was women with disabilities speaking at the Chicago Women's March in January 2018 about the need to be fully represented and to participate in women's global marches. In October 2018, British Prime Minister Theresa May declared that austerity was over. This may have been news to people with disability who have been on the receiving end of the Conservative government's decade-long austerity-driven reforms to Social Security. In the same month, an inquiry by the UK Parliament's Public Accounts Committee found that the new universal credit benefit system is causing financial hardship and forcing increased numbers of people to use food banks. Universal credit combines six Social Security benefits into one. This was supposed to make the system simpler to use and to allow a gradual reduction of benefits if and when people found work and earned more money. However, estimated cuts of around £5 billion to disability-related benefits over a decade, combined with a punitive and inflexible system, has meant that in reality, universal credit has pushed many people into even greater poverty. There's been a rolling 5 or 6 week delay between making your first application for benefits and receiving a payment, which has pushed a huge number of families into debt. The system is also managed entirely online, which makes it difficult for many people with disability to use. The UK disability activist group DPAC, or Disabled People Against Cuts, continued its protests this year against the universal credit system. In April, DPAC staged a protest at the central lobby of the Houses of Parliament in London and attempted to interrupt Prime Minister's question time. After being blocked from the Commons chamber by police, they chanted during Prime Minister's questions and then later blocked the road opposite Parliament. In October, DPAC further ridiculed the claim that austerity was over for people with disabilities and for people with mental illness. This is Paula Peters from DPAC discussing how the UK government's austerity measures have further increased the growing mental health crisis in the UK.
Well, they live in a parallel universe to us mere mortals. How do they explain that children with severe and enduring mental health distress you only get access to children's adolescent mental health services if you're actively suicidal and with suicidal ideation. In the last 5 years, we've seen 250,000 children denied access to mental health services and support that they desperately need. We're seeing cuts to specialist mental health support in schools, and we're seeing with 8 years of austerity, mental health distress is actually rising. And regarding the United Nations investigation, there's been years of written and oral evidence to back up millions of claimants who have been plunged further into mental distress, further into isolation as a result of DWP policy. And it should be noted the government were the first state in the world to be formally investigated under the United Nations Convention of the Rights of People with Disabilities and found guilty of grave and systemic human rights violations. Then in 2017, the committee ruled that the cuts that disabled people and people in mental distress were experiencing were a human catastrophe on our lives. And the UN Rapporteur for Poverty is about to visit the UK here in November. and they're coming here because there's overwhelming evidence to show that disabled people, people in mental distress, are plunged further into poverty by the cuts this government are making. It's not fake news, it's real news, and we need to continue the fight to get the truth out there of what this government are doing.
DPEC is continuing its campaigns against cuts to benefits and their impact on people with disability and mental illness. If you want to find out more about them, search for Disabled People Against Cuts on Facebook or go to https://dpec.uk.net. I'm Helen Gwilliam. You're listening to Direct Action on the Community Radio Network. To mark International Day of People with Disability, held on December the 3rd each year, this show is reviewing some of the non-violent, direct protests taken by disability activists worldwide in 2018. The Nigerian Disability Rights Bill has been waiting for transmission by Parliament to President Muhammadu Buhari for his assent since April this year. The bill provides, amongst other things, for access to public premises, the right to free education and healthcare, prohibition from segregation, and the right to work and employment, as well as the right to participate in politics, and would introduce a national commission to address complaints of harassment, discrimination, and harm against people with disability. 6 months may not seem a long wait, in parliamentary terms, for a bill to be progressed, but it has been more than 10 years since Nigeria ratified the United Nations Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities. So in October, a coalition of disability organisations stormed the National Assembly, demanding the transmission of the bill to President Buhari for his assent. Executive Director of the Centre for Citizens with Disabilities, David Aniele, stated that more than 95% of public infrastructure in Nigeria is inaccessible to people with disabilities. He said the population of people with disabilities in Nigeria is approximately 25 million, representing more than 15% of the total population. And even though Nigeria is a signatory to the UN Convention, it has no legal or policy framework that enables the mainstreaming of people with disabilities into a development agenda.
As I speak to you, the Ed Senate of the Nigerian National Assembly is struggling to transmit the disability bill to Mr. President for his assent. This bill has been harmonized. This bill has been packaged. We are asking them, what is holding the disability bill at the National Assembly? We want to know, why is the disability bill sleeping at the National Assembly for the past 18 years? We are dissatisfied. The National Assembly have exposed us to abuse. We feel the National Assembly has exposed us to insult and neglect. Yes. We feel the National Assembly have exposed us to exclusion.
Yes.
What that means is that without passing this disability bill to Mr. President for assent, our condition will worsen.
Yes.
Out of 18 million Nigerians living in poverty, more than 30% of them are people with disabilities. Unfortunately, Nigerian government do their programs, their services, at the exclusion of people with disabilities.
David Aniele, Executive Director of the Centre for Citizens with Disabilities, protesting in October this year the failure of the Nigerian Parliament to progress the long-awaited Disability Rights Bill.
Yes, we can, sure we can, change the world. Yes, we can, sure we can, change the world. Yes, we can, sure we can, change Africa, it go happen, no. Yes, it go happen, no. It's a world filled with darkness everywhere, but I see the light. Not from the north, the south, the east or the west, but from within you. Bring it out, let it shine, bring it out, let it work. I see a great you, I see a great me, I see a great us. I see a great continent, I see great nations. I see people whose existence cannot afford to be ignored. Not by any nation of the world, not by any race or tribe. I see great Africans as we emerge. Yes, we can, sure we can, change the world. Yes, we can. Sure we can change Africa. It go happen, no.
It go happen, no.
Yes, it go happen, no.
It go happen, no.
philosophers get ready to learn the wisdom of Africa. Let the spectators view the endless glory of our countries. Let the theologians see what will befall our nations. The golden nation of a new millennium. Whoa, I see the stars coming down from the sky. I hear a sound of a mighty rain coming. I see great leaders emerge like soldiers. Our flag will find the world cold. The sky is white, the grasses are green. The world is full of Africa. Yes, we can, sure we can, change the world. Yes, we can, sure we can, change Africa. It go happen, no. Yes, it go happen, no. Yes, we can, sure we can, change the world. Yes, we can, sure we can, change Africa. It go happen, no.
And that song was called Ego Happen by Grace Jerry. Grace is a music artist, disability rights advocate and peace promoter in Nigeria. She has written that the song is all about people, regardless of their background, finding their voice to become a catalyst for change.
I want choices and rights.
And now to Europe. There have been rolling protests in Bulgarian cities throughout 2018 by people with disabilities, their families and their allies. In particular, a mass movement of mothers of disabled children has been protesting for months under the slogan, "The system is killing us all." Most European countries now have person-centred funding, which enables people with disability to directly purchase and self-manage the supports they need. The protesters say that in Bulgaria, personal support for people with disability is limited to short-term European Union-funded programmes, which don't even cover half of the disabled population, and pay for an average of only 2 to 3 hours of support per day. A monthly allowance has recently been increased, but only for children assessed as having over 90% disability. And most children with disability in Bulgaria don't meet that threshold. And to fund that increase, children assessed with under 70% disability, which represents most children with disability in Bulgaria, had their allowance reduced. Adults with disability receive less than a third of the care allowance of children, having no personal carer support and no funding for medicines. The Mothers Movement is proposing restructure of the state social assistance agency and to set up instead local offices to work in partnership with people with disability. The government has rejected this proposal, and reform legislation is still held up in Parliament. The protests continue. In a similar story in Poland, parents of people and children with disability held rolling protests throughout April and May 2018 to highlight inadequate state support. Polish parents who take care of their children with disability receive government funding, but only on the condition that they don't also work. Some of this funding stops when children with disability turn 18 years of age, leaving their parents with neither enough money nor a job. This has been found to be unconstitutional. A group of people with disabilities and their parents took their protest to the centre of power this year, occupying part of the Polish parliament for more than a month, only leaving after 40 days because they felt isolated in the building. Support workers such as physiotherapists had been refused access to the building during the sit-in, and the group only had access to one toilet during the occupation. It was reported that cheering crowds greeted the protesters as they left the parliament at the end of May. During the occupation, the Polish government announced it would establish a solidarity fund, levying high earners from 2018 onwards to support, quote, the most urgent needs of people with disability and their families. As the fund will not provide any real support until 2020, As the fund will not provide any meaningful support until 2020, protesters said immediate funding was still needed, including benefits for adults with disability who are unable to work. In Argentina, there have been continuing protests by trade unions and social justice organisations against austerity measures proposed by the conservative Macri government to reduce national debt. In November, demonstrators took part in the March of Empty Wheelchairs in Buenos Aires, protesting against healthcare cuts, including cuts from disability payments. In 2017, the government abolished the former National Commission for the Integration of People with Disabilities, or CONADIS, which was formed by disabled people's organisations and their allies. The government instead launched a new national agency on disability, an agency people with disabilities say is composed by people not familiar with the sector. Activists also say changes in the administration of disability benefits have seen many months' delay in payments and provision of services and medicines to people with disability in Argentina. I want choices and rights. We finish our sample of worldwide disability protests in 2018, fittingly with ADAPT from the US, one of the longest-standing disabled people's direct action groups. 26 protesters were arrested after a demonstration in June outside the Indianapolis home of Donald Trump's Health and Human Services Secretary, Alex Azar. ADAPT says the protest was meant to draw attention to its claim that shock devices are used on developmentally disabled patients at the Judge Rotenberg Educational Center in Canton, Massachusetts, and the Trump administration is not progressing rules that would end this practice. ADAPT says the Rothenberg Center is the only center in the nation that uses the graduated electronic decelerator, or GED. It's reported that staff use a remote control device to administer a 2-second jolt of electricity when they think a patient is about to misbehave. They get shocked from 12 to 34 times a day for not taking off their jacket, anything that they're not supposed to be doing. Going to the bathroom when they're not supposed to, they get shocked for it, said ADAPT member Chancellor Shingleton. An ADAPT media release for the protest said that a 17-year-old patient at the centre was shocked 31 times over 7 hours for not removing his coat. It happens every day to children and adults, they said. They are mostly people with developmental disabilities and mostly people of colour. You've been listening to Direct Action, Disability Protests Worldwide in 2018 with me, Helen Gwilliam. This show was produced at 3CR Community Radio in Naarm, Melbourne, as part of our Disability Day special broadcast, and distributed nationally thanks to the Community Radio Network. Thanks for listening.